25. Battle. Bill, June 22-23, 82 Aridney. Premier Campbell put her face in her hands and was silent for several seconds. President Ito attempted to remain stoic, but I could see that he was shaken. Campbell looked up.
Mac? He's gone?
No, ma'am, I replied. We have his matrix. Or at least it's still in one piece and we know where it is, but he's offline for the moment. We're trying to get it to a colony site for safekeeping. Campbell nodded, looking relieved.
And how can we help, Mr. Johansson?
I turned to President Ito's video image. We're trying to inventory all our assets in this system. Anything that can be used as a weapon, anything that can be remote controlled, anything SCUT-enabled, anything that can get out of atmosphere.
How do the androids work? I believe there's one at each colony site.
I brightened. Those are SCUT-controlled, so yes, we can use those. That's one more, well, two more control loci for us. As soon as we can, we'll send a couple of drones to pick them up. We can use them to relay orders to the non-SCUT mining drones. I thought for a moment. Plus, they'll be useful to supplement the roamers for manipulation. Ito nodded, and silence descended. Campbell finally broke the pause.
We are at war, essentially, right? Are the colonies in danger?
I considered for a millisecond. I don't see how. At least on an immediate basis, ma'am. Medeiros doesn't have anything that can bomb you from orbit. If we can keep the auto factories from him, or at least keep the printers away, that won't change. If he gets a printer, or already has one, he still has to bootstrap up through all the automation needed for an auto factory before he can start building something like an asteroid mover, and there's no way he'll be dumb enough to try to print anything explosive.
On the other hand, Ito said in a slow drawl, inviting me to explain counterpoint.
I grinned.
On the other hand, we have no printer capability at the moment, although we are in possession of the actual printers, more or less.
And we'd have to go through the same bootstrapping process. To a lesser extent, maybe, because we have roamers and drones and now the two androids.
So it's detente.
I'm not sure it's even at that level, ma'am. Right now, it's more like that Hugh Grant and Colin Firth fight scene in Bridget Jones's Diary. She looked at me askance, then shook her head without asking. Apparently, Mac already had a reputation. Look, I continued. If we can get one or more of the printers onto one of your worlds and get enough raw elements down for it and do all this without being intercepted by Medeiros, then we can maybe build busters or something.
That's a lot of ifs, Campbell replied.
Well, it'll depend on what Medeiros does next. I'm afraid we're forced to react to his moves. Any attempt on our part to control the play will result in a missile down our throats.
How many missiles does he have?
Zero, we thought, so unknown. Ito thought for a moment.
You have a number of mining drones, I understand. Can you use them to ram the Brazilian?
It was a good try, and I nodded an acknowledgement. Sorry, President Ito, but that would be like trying to ram a sports car with tractors. In principle, you could do damage, but first you have to catch him. Ito sighed and sat back. Again, there was a contemplative silence. Look, I said, if you think of anything, call, email, or text me. We'll keep working on it from our end, and I'll keep you updated.
Good enough.
Premier Campbell nodded and ended her connection. A moment later, Ito blinked out as well. I sighed, sat back, and looked at the ceiling, like the others weren't bad enough. By the time Medeiros got to the nearest LaGrange auto factory location, we'd long since flung the printers and print heads well beyond his ability to detect them. The Bobs had also managed to hide, damage, or collect most of the auto factory automation, leaving nothing valuable except the actual metal ingots. We watched Medeiros from a non-SCUT drone, carefully disguised as flotsam, running on power cells so as not to show up on radiation detectors. It would run down soon, but if Medeiros didn't pick up on it, we could collect it later. If he did, he would have gained only a regular mining drone,
and one without a fusion reactor. The Brazilian craft buzzed around, inspecting and searching, then settled on a single location and stopped moving. I half expected some kind of raging and destroying things, but realistically, Medeiros was career military and presumably well-disciplined. He wouldn't waste missiles on petulance. I hoped he would decide on a strategy before the drone gave out. We'd identified three possibilities. One, head for one of the colonies and set up a picket, on the presumption that we had sent at least one printer that way. Two, head off and start scanning for printers and print heads on their lonely trajectories. Or three, start looking for roamers and mining drones to either destroy or try to take over. And finally, just when the drone was on its last few watts of stored power, Medeiros accelerated out of the area. Do we have an indication of where he's going? I jerked in surprise. Too intent on watching Medeiros, I hadn't realized that Will was visiting my VR. I turned to him. I don't think so. He's just headed off in what appears to be some random direction. The power cells are about to give out, so we can't track him by sudar. Will muttered an expletive, a clear indication that the situation was getting to him. We have to assume scenarios one or two then, since they're the worst cases. How many printers and heads have we rerouted to a colony? Two of each going to each colony, well spread out. Of course, he can spot them on approach with a sudar sweep, but he'll have to be close enough to physically intercept.
Then he'll have to intercept without destroying them.
Destruction is acceptable from our point of view. I nodded. This is going to be a long, drawn-out battle, Will. Garfield and I were sitting, drinking coffee, taking one of our increasingly rare breaks, when Guppy popped in.
Printer convoy en route to Asgard has been hit with a sudar sweep.
Garfield and I looked at each other.
Crap, he said.
That means he went for option one.
I guess it makes sense, I replied. For option two, he'd be scanning an increasingly large volume of space. This way, we are essentially coming to him. I turned to Guppy. Were you able to triangulate?
Negative. Sweep was short range.
Smart, Garfield said. He doesn't announce himself unless he makes contact, and if he does, he's right on top of us.
Which means he's right on top of us. I smacked my forehead.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, I checked, and this particular group has no scut. They'll have to operate on standing orders.
Convoy has been disabled. Video feed cut off.
Garfield and I exchanged a look. Had Medeiros simply blown up the convoy? Was his plan to deny us the printers? Wordlessly, I called up the truncated video. Garfield watched the 3-second sequence. Well, hell, I said when we were done. It appears Medeiros can learn.
He's building busters.
Or he built busters. Wait, when did he build busters? Garfield frowned and continued.
If this is the Alpha Centauri Medeiros, then his first exposure to us was the day we raised their installation. He would have had to build busters after that. There was no indication that the Brazilians were building kinetic weapons before that point.
I gave him a sickly grin. Sorry, buddy, I guess you missed the conversation after the attack. We figure he has at least one printer of his own. So he learned from Alpha Centauri.
So why is he doing what he's doing?
Two-pronged strategy. Attempt to gather as many printers as he can while denying them to us. Geometric progression means a small advantage up front can turn into an insurmountable lead, eventually. I stared into space for a few milliseconds. We have to take him out now. If he gets ahead of us, the colonists are as good as dead. Garfield closed his eyes and shook his head slowly. And we put them there. Captain Richards from the Asgard colony pressed his lips together and said nothing. He didn't have to. On top of everything the colonists were dealing with, they now had Medeiros to worry about.
Are you certain that he will attack the colony?
Not certain, Captain, but he's made it pretty clear on previous encounters that he is utterly loyal to Brazil, considers us to be at war, and isn't interested in discussions. I'm also not entirely sure he's sane at this point. I looked over at Garfield, who rolled his eyes dramatically. I'd hate to try communicating with him, only to find that we'd attracted his attention to the colonies. Richards nodded and sat back with a huff.
And we have nothing.
Not that we've been able to find. We could ask Mac if we could get him onto a cradle, but right now we can't risk trying to fly his matrix in. We're getting occasional glimpses of Medeiros, and he does his best to destroy anything he detects.
At both colonies? How many of him are there?
Richards frowned at me. I thought for a second. There's no overlap in appearances, so there's only one of him, but I think he's programmed his busters to patrol and knock down anything they detect. Right now, he owns the high ground. General Kiroshi from the Japanese colony had been listening without comment in another video window. Now he spoke up.
We have only small printers, useful for quick manufacturing of minor items, but insufficient for anything like your busters. And it would take months to bootstrap up to real industrial printers.
Richards nodded.
Same here. Ours are big enough to print more mosquito killers, but that's...
Wait, what? I sat up straight. Richards raised an eyebrow.
Super vampire something-something mosquitoes. Mac didn't mention them?
Yes. I remember them. I gave him a sideways glare. I didn't realize you were handling manufacturing yourselves.
Well, sure. Because we needed thousands and Mac couldn't be bothered. They're about the size of a baseball, so not really useful for anything but mosquito patrol.
But thousands? I leaned forward, radiating interest. Richards' eyes started to grow rounder as he realized something was up.
Yes, most of them are on standby right now, since we seem to have beaten back the Scourge. We were going to return them to raw materials eventually, but I think we had 3,000 or 4,000 running around at one point.
I let a slow smile grow on my face. They may be small, but a few hundred hitting a buster at the same time will still have an effect. We may be able to clear the sky around Asgard long enough to get the printers to ground.
Can they even fly outside of atmosphere?
Not a problem, Captain. It's actually more trouble building them to fly in atmosphere.
Excellent, the captain said. Let's get this operation going.
The mosquito killers were too small to carry scut-coms, so we had to give the AMIs complete enough instructions to handle any situation we could think of. One in each 100 was designated as an observer, ordered to send a video record back to the colony, if possible, or to record and return otherwise. We sent off 2,000 killers in 5 squads, hoping to catch as many busters as possible by surprise. A couple of killers were programmed to leak radio telemetry, which hopefully would attract some of Medeiros' devices. Captain Richards was mirroring everything to Kiroshi and myself. I watched the numerous video windows as the observers delivered status and telemetry.
Got a blip,
Captain Richards announced. I'd seen the change in the video window several milliseconds before, of course, but there was no good reason to remind him of my true nature. The telemetry from the observer indicated 2 bogeys approaching the group. Per their orders, the killers changed course to intercept. We hoped that Medeiros hadn't programmed caution into his busters. A bunch of baseball-sized objects hopefully wouldn't trigger the default danger avoidance routine. The busters zeroed in on the noisy killers, seemingly ignoring the cloud of attendants. At the last possible moment, every single mosquito killer altered course to aim directly at the 2 busters. The change apparently registered with the dim AMI brains because both busters went into hard turns. Too little, too late, though. The smaller and more maneuverable killers easily kept up with the change in vectors. Contact wasn't the dramatic flash we were used to seeing as 2 heavy devices collided at interplanetary speeds. The killers avoided the large steel ball up front and went for reactor cooling radiators, surge emitters, and other obvious signs of technology. It was like being pelted in a hailstorm. The first couple dozen impacts had no real effect, then dents started to appear, followed by seams popping, then parts flying off. In less than 30 seconds, the busters were drifting aimlessly, and we still had more than 100 killers left.
See if you can get them to shepherd the parts into low orbit, Richard suggested. If we can rescue the material, great. Otherwise, we push it into atmosphere and deny it to Medeiros.
I nodded. A good strategy. I wasn't sure how we'd get that much mass down to ground level, other than the obvious way, but I'd worry about that once we had rescued some drones.
2 down, Richards grinned at me, then turned in his video window to face Kiroshi.
General, once we've cleared the Asgard environs, I'll send a squad of mosquito killers your way. General Kiroshi nodded.
Thank you. Even if we are not ultimately successful, the process of attrition should keep Medeiros busy.
Yes, I added. We just need to knock off Busters faster than he can make them. And if he's making Busters, he's not making more printers.
We'll keep at this, Bill, Captain Richards nodded to me.
I'll keep you up to date.
Good enough. I still had a war with the others to prepare for.